Get ready for more big changes at University Place Mall starting later this week. New fencing will be going up Wednesday around the eastern part of the property as contractors get ready to begin demolition on the southern season wing. That demolition could start as early as next week. Get more details on our website, chapelboro.com. Also in Chapel Hill, the fire department got called out to a structure fire on Saturday at 411 Flemington Road, the address of Link Linden Apartments near Glen Lennox. The building's sprinkler system put out the fire and limited the damage, but one resident had to be hospitalized. The cause of the fire is still under investigation. Now to Carrboro, where town officials are planning the next steps for the Bolin Creek Greenway, a project that's been more than 14 years in the making. With the latest on that, here's 97.9 The Hill's Madison Ward.
The planning effort for this project was initiated for the purposes of alternative transportation, recreation, and environmental protection and restoration through the Bolin and Jones Creek corridors.
That was Carrboro Planning Director Trish McGuire. McGuire said planning efforts for the Bolin Creek Greenway were initiated in 2008. In 2009, the plan was adopted and a public engagement survey was conducted.
There are people in the community who are in high school now who weren't born when this public process started, and others have moved away and moved on, passed away as well.
McGuire said the project was initially divided into five phases, with phase one having two parts.
Phase one being in two parts, phase 1A down here. We also call this the Wilson Park multi-use path, and a project was completed in 2015. Phase 1B, this is also called the Homestead Chapel Hill High School multi-use path, and the ribbon cutting was in 2018, I believe.
Phase two of the plan, which will be located near Lake Hogan Farms, is not yet underway since funds were reallocated to phases three and four. Those phases will be located along the focus corridor of Bolin Creek, south of Chapel Hill High School and down to Estes Drive, McGuire said. As these discussions resume, Carrboro Town Council member Randy Haven O'Donnell said they believe it's important for the town to recognize how climate issues have changed in the 14 years since the project's proposal.
The conceptual plan in 2009 does not reflect any awareness, any concern for the climate issues, and it doesn't reflect an understanding of the need for climate response, resiliency, and action.
Similarly, town staff said they want to hear from the public about what else should be kept in mind for a potential expansion of Bolin Creek Greenway. McGuire said a potential idea for gauging interest with the project is to conduct a survey for town members.
Updating the base information in some fashion, checking on the uses that are existing and proposed for utilities and our neighbors, the University and Carolina North, and then checking the regulatory and permitting aspects, as well as community engagement, are important.
Carrboro Mayor Damon Siles said he wants the town to conduct a process to determine project engagement that would reach a broad sample of the community and provide new input.
I just want to make sure that we're reaching all the places we need to reach before we just sort of accept that that's all there is to this conversation. What are we wanting to ask people? What do we want to know from them? And are we expecting to learn something new by doing that we haven't learned already in the years of engagement around this issue?
Sile said he believes effective strategies for an inclusive engagement plan could be community events, neighborhood events, school events, and web-based input.
In the end, we want multiple strategies to reach multiple audiences and provide as many opportunities for input during what I hope will be a relatively short period.
For 97.9 The Hill, I'm Madison Ward.
Carrboro Town Council doesn't meet again until tomorrow, but several local government boards meet today, beginning with Orange County Commissioners holding their annual legislative breakfast today with Orange County's delegation to the General Assembly. Commissioners are urging lawmakers to prioritize eight key issues this year, including school funding, mental health funding, Medicaid expansion, nonpartisan redistricting, stronger gun laws, and racial equity in criminal justice. Also today, the Hillsboro Town Board meets at 7. They'll discuss how to allocate $43,000 in affordable housing funds. And Durham County Commissioners also meet tonight at 7. They'll consider an incentives package to bring a manufacturing facility to the county, and they'll vote on a resolution denouncing two anti-LGBTQ bills at the General Assembly. You can get links to all those agendas on our website, chapelboro.com. In Chatham County, county commissioners are also holding their own legislative breakfast this morning, and the sheriff's office is breathing easier after finally wrapping up a six-month investigation of an armed robbery that happened back in August, just north of Farrington Village. Officials were looking for six different suspects who reportedly robbed an individual during a drug deal. All six have now been arrested, including the final one just last week. Up to Virginia now, where the 4th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals on Thursday scaled back a lower court ruling that threw out portions of North Carolina's so-called ag gag law, which banned farm employees from recording videos at the workplace. But while the court said the law shouldn't be thrown out entirely, judges did agree that it could not be enforced against anyone who was recording video for news gathering purposes. That's a win for animal rights organizations who had sued because the law was preventing them from doing just that. Finally, we head to campus, where UNC School of Education and the School of Information and Library Science have joined together to hire Anthony James as their first joint director of diversity, equity, and inclusion. With more on that, Carolina Connections' Denise Stroud.
In his new office in the School of Education, Anthony James has the buoyant energy of someone excited to do big things. He leans in and smiles warmly as he explains his goals in this new role.
What I want to do is I want to create a culture that's so strong that if you are not aligning with our purpose and our vision, you're going to stand out like a sore thumb.
James holds a doctorate in education from the University of South Carolina. Before joining UNC, he was the director of minority education and outreach at the College of Charleston's School of Education. He explains he wants to help leaders across the campus incorporate the DEI ethos.
Everything that they do, the people they hire, the salaries they offer, the things they acknowledge, the things they reprimand, you know, all these things have a very significant impact on the culture because they send very clear messages about who is valued and who is not.
His sense of purpose for the work is clear.
Students are the most important piece of this puzzle. We need to make sure we create a psychologically safe environment, and they need to feel like they belong, because without them, we don't have jobs.
But campus DEI efforts are meeting opposition. The UNC System Board of Governors recently approved a policy to prevent the university from asking job applicants or prospective students to endorse statements of values. Law professor Eric Muller earlier referred to the proposal as a potential legal liability.
This is a First Amendment lawsuit waiting to happen, and I think it would be very, very unwise for the university to bring that on itself.
The policy was proposed after several UNC schools developed value statements concerning diversity. Jenna Robinson is president of the James G. Martin Center for Academic Renewal, a conservative think tank.
I do think that that is a good step in order to make sure that no candidates for jobs or candidates for admission are asked to present their political or ideological views and aren't going to be judged on those political and ideological views, yes.
The Martin Center's website features an article that compares the spread of educational DEI efforts to an academic cancer.
I think an academic cancer wouldn't be those would not be the words that I would use. I would say that they are good intentions gone awry.
She believes DEI efforts can threaten academic freedom.
I think that there are problems when DEI efforts collide with academic freedom concerns. And so I'm concerned especially about schools that require candidates for jobs or students on their applications to submit DEI statements, because I think that those have been used as kind of a political litmus test.
James, however, is squarely focused on improving the students' experience. He places their sense of belonging at the center of his work.
For me, belonging is the ultimate goal. Everyone needs to feel like they belong. So I think that's something that we can find common ground on.
With his new position, James hopes to help both schools find the space and mutual understanding to forge a sense of belonging for all. In Chapel Hill, I'm Denise Stroud.
For Carolina Connection, a student-produced radio newscast from the UNC Hussman School of Journalism and Media that airs Saturday mornings at 8:30 on 97.9 The Hill. Head to our website, chapelboro.com, for more local news, including two pieces from the Chatham News and Record, one on VinFast's plan for a new electric vehicle plant in Moncure, and another about a Pittsburgh woman who won a new home in Nashville as part of HGTV's Urban Oasis giveaway. Regina Richardson prize is worth $1.3 million. Time now for sports, brought to you this hour by CIMG Residential Mortgage. Huge weekend for Tar Heel basketball with major wins for both the men and women. First, the men, who desperately needed a signature win to get on the right side of the NCAA tournament bubble, and they got it on Saturday, taking down 6th-ranked Virginia 71-63. RJ Davis had a double-double. Leaky Black had 4 blocks, but the star of the game was Pete Nance. He'd been struggling recently, but none of that on Saturday. Nance led the way with 22 points on 7 of 10 shooting, including 4 of 4 from three-point range and 4 blocks of his own. After the game, head coach Hubert Davis said it might have been all about the cookies.
Pete stopped by the office and we started talking about cookies, and I asked him, do you like crumble cookies or insomnia? He said, like crumble cookies. I said, well, I like insomnia cookies. And I told him the best type of cookies that I like, and I asked him, what is your favorite cookie? He said, a lemon Oreo. I said, I never heard of that before. I said, I've heard of Oreo cookies. I've never heard of a lemon Oreo cookie. And he said, just go to the grocery store. I said, okay. I said, I'm going to Harris Teeter right after practice. I'm going to go look for the lemon Oreo. And I said, if I can't find it, I said, we're going to get in a brawl. And he said, fine. And so I went into Harris Teeter, and there they were. And so after every pregame meal, he goes up to my office and takes a nap on my couch. And so when he went in there, I had the Oreo cookies laying down. And so right after the game, I walked into the locker room. I said, guys, you have no idea what allowed us to be pretty good today. And he went into the locker and threw the Oreos. He didn't eat it yet and threw it right there on the ground. And then Coach May said, you got to go to Harris Teeter today. So as soon as I leave you guys, I'm going to Harris Teeter.
That's Hubert Davis. Their second win in a row for Carolina and their first home win over a top 10 opponent since 2019. Also smiles off the court as well, as UNC welcomed 7-year-old Phoenix Bryant of Morrisville and his family to the game. Bryant's living with Down syndrome, and he spent the weekend with the team as part of a program sponsored by an organization called Dream on 3. Carolina's got another big game tonight on the road at Florida State. Seminoles near the bottom of the ACC standings, but they just came back from 25 down to beat 13th-ranked Miami on the road. Biggest comeback for a win in ACC basketball history. So, yet again, no easy wins in conference play. Tip-off time, 7 p.m. We'll have it all for you right here on 97.9 The Hill, starting at 5:30 with Countdown to Tip-Off. Of course, the Duke game is coming up this Sunday as well, and ESPN Game Day will be on hand for that one. And speaking of Carolina Duke, the 22nd-ranked UNC women's basketball team went up to Durham and took down the 11th-ranked Blue Devils 45-41 in a defensive battle. That's the lowest UNC has ever scored in a win, but it was a win nonetheless. Carolina trailed by 7 in the fourth quarter, but came back to become the first men's or women's team to beat Duke basketball in Cameron Indoor all this season. After the game, head coach Courtney Banghart.
It was obviously a huge game for us. You know, we've lost all these close ones all year long, and you know, late in the year, we had a chance to beat a top 15 team on the road. We knew they were playing for a ACC championship. We know that Carolina Duke, it matters, right? And so it was a tough, gritty battle that finally we had said enough is enough collectively and made enough plays to win the game.
That was win number 20 for Carolina, their 6th win over a ranked opponent already this season. Also kept Duke from winning the ACC regular season title. Next up, the ACC tournament in Greensboro this week. UNC is the 7th seed, and their first game will be Thursday at 6 against either 10-seed Clemson or 15-seed Pitt. Elsewhere in sports, a rough weekend on the diamond for UNC as the softball team lost 5 in a row at the Joan Joyce Classic in Florida, and the 12th-ranked baseball team dropped 2 straight to number 11 ECU. Tar Heels lost both of those games by the same score, 6-5, both times after giving up 3-run leads. It was a better weekend for UNC lacrosse. Top-ranked women beat Virginia Tech 10-6. That was win number 399 for Jenny Levy in her career. And the 12th-ranked men beat Syracuse 19-6. at 13. Logan McGovern, the star of that game, with 4 goals and 4 assists. In tennis, the top-ranked Tar Heel women beat Virginia and Virginia Tech. The men beat Boston College. Tar Heel gymnastics beat Temple to finish undefeated in regular season league play. And in track and field, the UNC men finished 5th and the women took 10th at the ACC Championships in Louisville. And in hockey, the Carolina Hurricanes split 2 games over the weekend, beating Ottawa 4-0 on Friday. I was at that one before losing to Anaheim on Saturday 3-2. And finally, in academic news, the ACC last week honored 53 student-athletes with postgraduate scholarships, including 4 from UNC. Congrats to diver Anton Down-Jenkins, softball player Destiny Middleton, and gymnast Elizabeth Colton, and basketball star Armando Bacot, who's planning to turn pro instead of going to grad school, so he was named as an honorary scholarship recipient.